Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson on Halloween Thursday. You're locked into The Fan. We are getting ready for the Commanders and the Giants on Sunday. And as we close in, we're taking inventory on whether or not you could see this as a possible letdown spot for Washington. They're 3.5-point road favorites. Everybody thinks they're going to beat New York. I saw my first prediction graphic drop where I think there's 10 on the screen, 9 have the Washington Block W logo, and 1 has the Giants, which has been reason for nervousness around here for many years. But those nerves are dying. I mean, that anxiety, frankly, is going away some, Danny, because what I've been most impressed by with the Dan Quinn operation so far is they have handled Prosperity off the Bengals game. They blew out the Cardinals. Off the blowout of the Cardinals coming home, for sure this is the letdown spot. They destroy the Browns. They go to Baltimore, put up their dukes, give them their best shot. They lose. Then you came home to Carolina and you thought, well, maybe this is the regression and the skid, and they hang 40 on the Panthers, and then they bounce back to beat the Bears as well. So they just have not had that show-up small game. And the longer you go without one, the more you can start to think they're above that and maybe better than that.
100%. You put enough deposits in, then, you know, that kind of becomes what you are at this stage. My only counter to it is this isn't a Washington-specific thing. If you're asking me, is Washington better than the Giants? Well, duh. Yeah, obviously. Okay, let's move on to the next topic. But is any team above a letdown? Is any team above, you know, another professional team having a good day? And I don't mean to speak in, you know, these sorts of, you know, hyperbolic kind of bits of weirdness, but a divisional game where you've already played a field goal game over the course of the season, it's not insane to me that they wouldn't play their best game in New York, right? I mean, that's happened. Again, Washington is better. If they played 20 times, they'd win 15, 16 of those. Well, there's a handful of others that they might not. So you look around the league over the last month or so, right? Think about how many good teams played bad teams. And this is what's happening. A good team, Washington, is playing a bad team, New York. Green Bay probably very easily could have lost to Jacksonville this past weekend. Fluky stuff happens. The Ravens dropped the game to the Raiders earlier this year. Fluky stuff happens. My point here isn't just to say, oh, well, it's sports, that's why they play the games. I'm trying to go above that a little bit, but my point is I don't think anybody, let alone like an absolute buzzsaw juggernaut, they can't be defeated team that, you know, doesn't exist anymore in today's NFL is above kind of that trap game letdown situation, despite all the rhetoric, despite all the efforts to the contrary.
I agree with you. I think it's mostly like it lowers the percentage, like how many of them you have when you're really good dissipates.
I think that's the way to phrase it. That's it.
You know, like the Ravens have now lost to the Raiders and the Browns, and it gives me a little pause, but they've won some other really tough games that makes it more okay. But a team like the Chiefs, and I'm not talking about this year where they're 7-0, but just by and large, they don't let down against Denver when Denver's bad very often, you know?
Right.
But you're right. I mean, every team, no one goes 17-0. Nobody goes 16-1. You know, 15-2 ain't walking through that door either. And I'm not talking about Washington. I mean, the great teams every year in the league. Mm-hmm. The best teams are generally 13-4. You just saw the Ravens lose to the Browns. This happens all the time in the league. They're good enough now that, let's say they lose in New York against the Giants, even if they play a bad game, I'll kind of chalk it up to a bad day.
Me too.
Not that, oh, I guess maybe they weren't as good as we think. Like, I'm past that at this point. I think it would take 2 or 3 weeks in a row where they lower their own bar by playing poorly before I think, okay, you know, they were playing over their heads and they've come back down to earth.
Because I think they just had that. Like, this was, like, again, they did a lot good in that Chicago game. I'm not saying they didn't. Defensively, they were great, especially in the first half. But offensively, shooting themselves in the foot, some of the miscues and things that you're going, that's not what they've been doing over the last, you know, 6 weeks. I think they just had their we got away with one game, right? Where, you know, the Hail Mary doesn't get tipped to the right person. We're talking about a 5-3 team right here, right? Where they go, okay, lesson learned. We can't afford to take our foot off the gas, or we have to be on our P's and Q's. Like, to me, they've already done that. Right, this past week had the quote unquote, I don't say letdown game, that's not the right turn of phrase, but we didn't do our best here. We didn't play our best.
I partially agree with that. I think that was a loss that they stole. But I also think they outplayed the Bears and should have won anyway. It was only a loss that they stole because they were behind with 25 seconds to go.
Right.
After the Bears finally scored. But like, I did not think they played a bad game. I thought they had a couple of miscues in the red zone. But I actually thought they played pretty well, especially defensively. That was a winning performance. But, yeah, they obviously stole a game as it ended up that they could have lost. But I don't know that that was like a letdown. I think they're probably even with the Bears on paper, and it would be a toss-up. You know, if they played 10 times, it'd be 5-5 or whatever. Let's go to Will and Stafford on Grant and Danny. How do you feel about the matchup with the Giants on Sunday?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, bro. I just want to say on the candy real quick, Fifth Avenue, best candy bar ever made. I order a box from Amazon each year. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but I give out full-size candy bars of Fifth Avenue just to spread the awareness.
Your wife should thank the lucky stars that she has such a lovely, wonderful husband that understands the value of giving out full-size, king-size, full candy bars, number one. What is Fifth Avenue, though?
It's peanut butter and chocolate, dude. It's basically they made the peanut butter crunchy somehow. And if you ask me how, I don't know. Magic. But it's basically a crunchy chocolate and peanut butter bar.
Yeah, it's amazing. Always has been.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Danny, you and I are about the same age. When the old ladies in the neighborhood would give out Bit of Honey or Mary Jane's, that filth went straight to the trash.
Garbage.
But I'll say real quick, guys, two things. I'm a little worried about the health of the OTs, Coleman, concussion, Wiley, and Cornelius, you know, a little banged up. But also, it seems like MetLife, that turf there, we all know it's terrible. I'm a little concerned about health there. I mean, it seems like that stadium is notorious for taking guys out, you know, with non-contact injuries. I mean, knock on wood, nothing happens. But I always get nervous when our team plays there, or pretty much any team other than the Giants. Thanks,
it
guys.
Is the most good hated point, surface in the NFL right now, and I don't even think it's that close. There was a time, it's funny, I'm old enough to remember when natural grass and, you know, poorly grown grass like FedEx Field was what everybody was worried about, when that was ripping ligaments. But, yeah, now nobody wants turf. I mean, the players, the PA goes to the league year in and year out, trying to get natural grass. A lot of the indoor stadiums that are being built have the ability to wheel the turf out into the parking lot so you can actually grow grass. The types of turf on indoor stadiums that are being used are changing as well. But for whatever reason, I know they've done a lot of work and made changes. But, yeah, he's right. MetLife Stadium has a reputation and is now notorious for non-contact injuries.
That is the thing. I hadn't even thought about that specifically, but he's 100% right. I mean, with that offensive tackle question certainly is a pretty important one, I would say. You know, Trent Scott, with all due respect, you probably don't want him taking, you know, 80 snaps there at left tackle. So TBD on that. But, yeah, the injury concern is the thing.
What do you mean you don't want Scott taking 80 snaps?
I don't necessarily want him starting at left tackle. I'd rather have Coleman or Lucas.
I think that's the case at any stadium.
I don't mean, he brought up two things. I was talking about the turf, but he said offensive tackle situation and the turf.
Got you. Yeah, there's let me be clear. There's nowhere where Trent Scott's going to play where I'm going to feel really good about that.
You could have it on the moon or wherever,
Grass, turf, if there's a new thing that they come up with, if we're playing the game on carpet. Sorry, I thought you were talking about regarding the surface. But, yeah, that's the biggest concern of the game. I'm hoping Brandon Coleman plays. I don't really have a full reason to believe he will, but you generally don't miss 2 weeks with a concussion as a young guy. You're seeing Tyrone Tracy come back days after his concussion. But every concussion is different, obviously. There's no way to really predict that at all. I just think, you know, based on the last several years, it would seem like a lengthy recovery if Coleman wasn't able to go. So I'm hoping he can play. But even in that case, we haven't seen him get a full week's worth of 100% of snaps. I mean, you'd still be asking him to do something he hasn't been asked to do, and it would be his toughest test of the season, not just because of the workload, but because Brian Burns is one of the better pass rushers in the league.
Yeah, they got a variety of guys, whether it's Lawrence or Burns or Thibodeau that's had huge games against them.
Thibodeau's on injured reserve.
Oh, he's on IR, that's right.
But you're right. I mean, Lawrence, a D tackle, he wouldn't have to go up against Coleman very often. But, yeah, I mean, that's a pain in the butt that he's going to be a real big problem on the interior. Joe's in L.A. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Just two things. Well, first I have to say Fifth Avenue is the best candy bar, so thank you, Will, for pointing that out. But then two things about the game. One, I think that the culture we hear about from Dan Quinn and from Jaden Daniels, who are the two most important people to hear from, it doesn't suggest to me anything about being susceptible to trap games. They just don't seem to have they have the right mentality about putting in the work every week. And Jaden Daniels basically celebrated that Hail Mary for like 5 seconds before he was like, all right, on to the New York Giants next week.
You gotta love what he said about that, 100%. Right? I mean, it's in the past, man. Now, I think when was his presser yesterday? So Wednesday from Sunday was the first time we heard him talk. But even still, he says the right things every single time.
Every time and always. He's so special, and everything he does, just like he's like the perfect dude. You know what I mean? Just like it always turns up him. But yeah, 100% love that attitude. And I guess maybe it's a matter of semantics. I don't know, Jeeps, but the idea that they're less susceptible to the letdown because of the rhetoric, right? The way that these guys approach it and level of buy-in to it, right? Where you're talking about, doesn't matter who the opponent is, we have to do our thing, our thing, our thing, our thing. And when we talked to Austin Eckler on Tuesdays, right, it's a little bit less about what the opponent's going to do. We have to take care of our stuff, our thing. We have a standard. Dan Quinn talks about it all the time, not meeting the opponent, but we have to worry about what we do all the time. And that internal facing, constant improvement, almost competing with yourself and competing with the standard that you're setting. It's like that Matthew McConaughey deal where he's like, my hero is me 10 years from now, my earlier self looking up forward to my 10 year from ago and later self. Like, it's that deal where you're talking about self-improvement over the, setting yourself up against the competition. And so that would make them less susceptible given that buy-in.
I think Joe's gone. Joe, I didn't mean to end your call that quickly. I apologize, buddy. Thank you for calling us from out in L.A. on the Odyssey app. Speaking of the Odyssey app, Greg is in Florida on Grant and Danny. What's up, Greg? How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Bo.
So, I hate to say it, but I'm taking the Giants straight up. And I don't view this as a letdown game. I'm just not totally convinced, believe it or not, until they beat the Giants in the Meadowlands. I don't know when the last time that's happened, but the Giants just seem to have our number for whatever reason. We either split with them or they win two. When was the last time we won two from them in a season? I can't remember.
It's been a while.
And I've been around for a long time. And again, I don't know whether they just have our number and know how to put together a game plan, but I'm a little nervous because, Daniel Jones is going to be running the ball to, get first downs on third and long. And I'm worried about our secondary, and it's not just against, is it Neighbors? Is that who it is?
That's it, yeah.
He had 10 catches for 100 yards against Washington.
And so appreciate the call, man.
Last time they played.
2021 is the last time it happened. And even still, it wasn't two blowouts. You know, it wasn't like, oh, they just stomped them around despite the fact the Giants weren't any good. 1-point win, and then the last game of the season that was it was all but meaningless for everybody. They beat them by, I think it was 10, 12 points, something like that. But 2021.
Yeah, they swept them in both games, and they won in the Meadowlands. Before that, though, Danny, looking at it, I think you got to go all the way back to 2011.
Yeah.
To find the last time.
So the point stands, obviously.
And that was, like final week of the year, as you said, everyone's checked out. But if you want to find the last time where two games were played when the competitive portion of the season was still going, how about 2011?
Yeah, that's too long, quite frankly. That's one team having the better of the matchup.
But there's a lot of things happening for the first time since then.
Well, that's true.
If they win, they're 7-2 for the first time since 1996, which is harder to do, it seems like, around here than just winning in the Meadowlands, which happens every few years anyway.